be consistent in what you're doing. Whatever it is that you have chosen, be consistent. And even if it's not monetized yet, consistently do whatever that thing is.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.
What's going on, everyone? This is Erica De La Cruz in for Miss Esprit Devora today. You are listening to the Women in Tech Show. Here with me today, we have Miss Pam Schaefer, founder of Beyond Books. What's going on, Pam? How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. It was really sweet of my friend Pinguino to invite me.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you. Hopefully you can hear me through my hollowed voice today. It's a little under the weather, but we're kicking forward. So I can't wait to hear about Beyond Books. So give us the scoop. What is Beyond Books? What does the company do? Is it an app? And who are you for the company?
Aha. Okay. I'm like, wow, that's a good multi-part question.
Ah, thank you.
So Beyond Books is in fact an app. It's an immersive e-reader platform. So we publish stories that have narration and music and art, and you can customize how you view them. So think of a dynamic graphic novel.
Love it.
Yes.
Got it. So it's interactive. So what makes it different from like a Kindle?
Well, that actually, the reason why we created it was necessitated by the fact that there wasn't a platform that actually published something with this amount of media.
Got it.
Because we were originally looking, when we created the first story, my partner had written a story and I scored music to it. And a friend heard about it and goes, oh, that's so cool. Let me illustrate. And so we thought, okay, we'll just publish that electronically.
Yeah, exactly.
Naive little us several years ago. Little did we know.
Got it.
And so we went to publish it and there really wasn't an e-reader that had that format. There was either like a PDF with an illustration on another page.
Yeah.
Or there was something like Audible where you could publish the narration track but not have it separate from the music. So you couldn't really combine all of the media.
So this is like all of the senses. You can watch it, you can read it, you can hear it.
Yes.
Okay, I love that.
And yeah, they had similar stuff for children, but it was really for only kids' books that were more of specific apps for those books.
And what about the big children? What about the adults?
Yeah, that's the thing where like, and I was looking at reading rates that they drop off after 12 and they sometimes pick back up again, but in the US they just kind of
got it, plummeted.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So this is a niche app and I love it. I got a chance to see some of the artwork. It's very mystical and magical, all the things that I love. So what about the things that you love? Is this, where did this come from? Where did the inspiration, I was seeing the visuals. Mm-hmm. Is this your calling and why are you passionate about the platform?
I'm really passionate having in my other sphere, I tutor a lot and I have a master's in clinical psych. And I work with a lot of children with learning differences.
Wow.
And so a lot of the kids that I work with have difficulty with sometimes with auditory processing, visual processing, attention issues. And I found that to keep them engaged in stories and in literature, I found myself often reading aloud with them. We'd act things out. We'd set the scene with us.
I love it.
Yeah, like we'd really, because I was like, okay, how do I help if someone is learning in a different manner? How do I encourage them to go along that path?
Yes.
Still get the same content, but
got
you know.
It. Yeah,
and
that
so
makes sense.
That deeply influenced it. And also my partner, when he's writing, he would tend to read aloud to me.
Mm.
And half jokingly, I just said, well, everyone should have a British dude reading them stuff.
Wait, is this your romantic partner?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I have to know, is the voice on the app him?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
So the voice on the app is Alex, who's the other half of Beyond Books. He's the writer and often the narrator. Though for several stories now, we've had my best friend Cassandra Nostalgia narrated one of the stories.
Got it.
So because that came from a very feminine place. And he was reading the story and just was like, I don't think this is for me.
Right.
He's like, narrator, this sounds weird.
The narrator has to be attached in some way, shape, or form to the story.
Yeah. And he has narrated some from a female perspective, but this one was written by that author I was mentioning to you, Francesca Leah Block, who's an LA-based author.
Got it.
And it was a fairy tale adaptation of the story Handless about the Handless Maiden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So right now, we're talking about a lot of interactive, and it seems so theatrical. However, this is accessible on the palm of your hand, literally inside of your phone now. So how did you get into the tech sphere? Like, was this where you started? Was this like a big undertaking for you?
Oh my goodness. It was kind of bananas. Like, I kind of wish I could go to like 2014 me and be like, guess what?
You're going to develop
your life's going to get really weird.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
I'd be like, thanks, 2017 me. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. Can you tell me what I'm going to be doing?
So, yeah, we created all this media and I posted on Facebook that I had this idea because we had all the content for the first story, but I didn't know how to publish it. And a friend of mine from elementary school wrote to me, and he's an app developer. His name is Adam Schwem. He's the one who developed the app.
Yes. Got it.
Spoiler. But he messaged me and just said, I've been following your music. I really love what you do. I believe in you. I want to help you do this. And I was like, qua?
What?
Yeah. And so, I mean, Adam and I had stayed in touch through high school and a bit in college. But I mean, we didn't drift apart for like acrimonious reason. But just, you know, one of those friends that you're like, oh, yeah, there's that person.
Right.
He was kind of one of those like, oh, yeah, I think fondly of this person. And that's nice.
That is incredible. And he stepped up to help you develop an app.
Yeah. He literally like totally went the distance, like 100% believed in me. So even though there were moments where I was like, this is really hard, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm like, well, Adam believes I can do it.
So. Yeah. So there you have it.
I guess I might as well follow through.
True teamwork. So Adam comes in on the app side. Mm-hmm. So let's get a little bit more personal. Is this your calling? Is this that you're developing? And I know it's under a larger media company. Is this your calling? And if so, how does it feel to be inside of it? Or what is?
It's so bizarre. I was saying to my new bandmate last night, I was saying to him, it's really strange when you get what you want.
Oh,
and
wow.
You look around and you're going, I got the thing.
This is real.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Because I feel like my calling is like, I feel like it's a twofold thing of creative expression and encouraging expression and understanding in others.
Mm.
Like those would be kind of the umbrellas, I would say, that I fall under.
I love that. Yeah. So this is really creative expression in a whole new way.
Oh, yeah. And encouraging. Like I think one of my favorite things of running the app is when I see a story come together because I'm the one that's doing the project management of the teams currently. And when you actually see all the pieces come together.
Ugh.
You're just like, yes.
Yeah. And you know, that's so beautiful because that's something we don't hear very often is, wow, like I got what I want. Here it is. And it's great. And I just want to acknowledge you for standing inside of, oh, this is it. Because a lot of people pass it up. And 10 years from now, they'll be like, oh, I got what I wanted.
Yeah.
I wish I could have experienced it.
It's so weird because I'm like, well, I have this app and I'm publishing stories and I have this band and like I'm making music. And
it's
I have like
beautiful.
My tutoring work and I love working with kids. And I'm just like, I'm doing the things I like to do.
That is amazing. So tell me, then that's perfect. It dovetails into the next portion of this interview, which is a lot. It's largely based in mentorship and anyone who may have guided you in certain paths inside of your career. Are you just naturally thinking like this? Like a lot of people are like, oh, society, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Here comes my corporate world. Or what was the catalyst to allow you to pursue what you wanted to?
That's a really good question.
It's great when this question catches people off guard. I feel that there's something about them. So something about you is like, why wouldn't I pursue what I wanted to do?
Right. It's funny. I'm just like, wow, it's really a collision of like internalized privilege and personality. And like, I'm like thinking of all the accumulation of things that happened to me that would get me to this place.
Right.
Like, I am very grateful for the fact that like where I went to school for high school and college, they really did encourage expression and following creative arts and making your own path. And I was able to do things like take AP music theory and AP psychology. And then in college, I was able to have a major and a double minor and write my own honors thesis.
Like, I love it.
They were like, do what you want. And I was like, I want to do everything. And they were like, okay, do everything. Have fun. Never sleep. And
like, what college? What high school and college was this for our listeners, our audience? Maybe them. Maybe you're going to school. Maybe you have children.
Yeah.
Where are these schools?
So I went to Harvard-Westlake here.
Got it.
And they had an amazing AP program. Like, I would say, like, and of my students that I tutor now, the students that I've seen at Harvard-Westlake and at Crossroads, I would say, are most encouraged to kind of make their own paths, which is really cool to see.
And this is here in Los Angeles, so, California, for our global audience. Yeah. Gotcha.
And then I wanted the opposite of the LA experience. So I actually went to the University of Puget Sound in Washington.
Ooh.
So it's this like teeny tiny school near Seattle. I felt like I was in like Lord of the Rings meets like flannel.
I love
Lord of the Rings. Very green.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's like Gandalf is coming around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's misty.
Exactly.
How novel.
Like, oh my God. So, yeah.
I feel like that definitely influenced it. And I tried other jobs. Like when I first moved back to LA, I knew I wanted to do music. I started tutoring and I tried a few other jobs. And I know this sounds bizarre, but like when I'm in too much of a routine,
right,
I found myself getting very depressed.
Yes.
Like uninspired, just like I felt like it was just a mismatch.
Mm.
And I felt like I was just like, well, why would I spend my time doing something where I'm not like really
right
optimized? Like I'm not giving that much to these people. It's not giving that much to me. How can I
not a match?
Yes,
exactly.
It was like, wasn't good for them. Wasn't good for me. Like, I wasn't a good like marketing intern.
I love it.
I was sitting there being like, I've already checked out press clippings, and it's 10, and I've been here since 9, and I
understand that. And a lot again of our culture is like, how do you develop those skill sets? And sometimes the answer is you don't. You just accept that you have another path.
Yes,
you need to step into your gift and what you're good at. Instead of spending the rest of your time trying to hone in on someone else's craft.
Like, that's the thing is like, I'm sure that it works really well for someone who's not me.
I love you.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Whereas I found that like, even though sometimes it actually takes more time, more mental effort, everything to say, run my own tutoring business.
Yes.
I much prefer that. Like I would much prefer talking to clients, figuring out their needs, strategizing for lesson plans. Like I would much rather do that than be my own boss,
yes,
then not. And the same with my creative projects where I, you know, I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants.
That's great.
And so I definitely, I do read a lot. I'll read pretty much any article that comes my way.
Well, that's fitting since your company is beyond books.
Exactly. Shocker. I like books. And so like,
yeah.
So I think that I naturally, that is probably more of a natural tendency of mine that I will seek out information.
Love it.
Like I would say that that's a personality thing as opposed to, I don't know, nature versus nurture.
Right. Exactly. Kind of sitting back to, you know, hoping that someone's going to knock on the door with the answer.
Yeah.
You're out there exploring it, researching it.
Like that's very much my style.
Yeah. You know what? Likewise, and there's a lot of synergy and there's something that's been up and coming specifically in like the girl boss culture that's entrepreneurial artists where there's some form of expression and a message to the larger world.
Yes.
And there's also generating revenue and running your own ins and outs and enjoying doing that rather than, you know, building someone else's vision.
That's and I find that, you know, for a long time, and I know that Amanda Palmer has spoken to this, a lot of my friends who do crowdfunding have spoken to this, that there's this antagonistic relationship between commerce and art.
Yes.
And that you're not supposed to do both. And I do find that I still run into my own roadblocks of promoting myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like over and over again, it's like, I don't expect my art to make money.
Right.
But I do expect to be able to make a living at something that I do, whether it's art, teaching, app, like.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I have multiple revenue streams. So if one isn't making revenue at the moment, I'm not.
Yes, right. Because you can depend, and that's like that's inherent to a true entrepreneur as well. Is like, generate multiple streams of income, so you don't have to worry if one light goes out, the other light is still on.
Exactly. And so I feel like reconciling myself to the fact that yes, it's okay to make a living mm-hmm. as a creative entrepreneur. Like you don't have to There's no nobility in scrounging by. It doesn't make your art better.
Yes, thank you. That's gorgeous. Yeah, you know what? That comes from the books, everyone. There's no nobility in scrounging by. I love that. So to that, because a lot of people, they maybe do this, like if they're an artist, they don't believe that they can generate revenue. Or if they're generating revenue, they don't know if they can be as expressed.
Yes.
I want to take you to a time where things may have seemed a little bit darker. Maybe there was a challenge that you faced. Specifically, what was that hurdle or that challenge or that obstacle? And how did you get through it in your career path?
I would say like incorporating was really challenging for me. Like understanding, I did read a lot about corporate structure for creative businesses.
Yes.
Because I wasn't quite sure how to do that.
Got it. Absolutely.
And so I was like, okay, I need to learn how to do this. And it's funny, my parents are both retired lawyers. My sister's a lawyer. And my mom once said to me, she said, you'd be a really good lawyer, but I'd be very worried about you psychologically. She's like, that's totally not your personality.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, that's pretty accurate. I'd be like, can't we all just figure out this patent law thing? It'll be fine.
I love it.
So that was hard, like learning how to have that structure, which I'd had for my own tutoring business, but applying that to then my creative business was very difficult. And learning how to understand more about why to incorporate as an app, why to incorporate as an artist,
right?
Why you'd want to, like, because I was like, oh, that's a big upfront investment to do that. Why don't I want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
But learning about why it's good to have like your separate art business separate from you as an individual.
Right.
That was very challenging for me. And I would say also having the conviction that what I was doing was important enough to invest in.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that was difficult.
I got it. I got that. A lot of people are like, well, it's just my hobby.
And
sometimes the ones that have this permission to be happiest because they're doing what they love are like, wait. Is this the right thing? Is this big enough for me to be pursuing at this level?
Yeah, that's what I think is like also very difficult is like how we define a professional artist now.
Yeah.
Because there are very few people I know that even have one stream of income within even one particular art form.
Right.
Like most of the musicians I know that are making money as strictly musicians are making that money by being session artists, they're writers, they're producing. They're top lining on things like they're doing multiple things within the field. Like there really isn't any longer this whole, oh, you're a musician. So you make a record every 2 years and you tour
it. Exactly. You're just everywhere. Like, and digital media has really perpetuated all of that. Like everyone has these tabloids attached to them called social media.
It's so strange. And so it's both liberating and overwhelming. Yeah. And I find with the app, like working with so many different creatives, it's really made me like come to terms with the fact that like I'm a creative professional and I can also still be a teacher and that those things aren't in conflict.
Right.
So for a long time, I was like, oh, but I still have my tutoring business. So I guess I'm not.
So I guess I'm not a musician.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then I'm like, wait, like I was saying yesterday, I was just like, you know, sometimes I almost forget like, oh, yeah, I'm a tech entrepreneur because I have an app.
Right.
For me, it's like another creative thing that I do that I'm like, oh, wait.
That's real.
That's valid.
Right. People, exactly. They invalidate themselves based on the fact that they haven't gotten the award or the trophy or the sign of whatever it is that they're going to get in the mail that says you're certified.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So from the show today, what I've really gotten is that you have multiple pots on the stove and you're stirring them. You love them. You have learned to also create them not only as hobbies, but as businesses.
Yes.
So what advice would you have for anyone listening who is that, who does favor creative expression and who's working on turning that into something substantial? Maybe even getting into the tech world might seem a little bit scary for them.
Yeah.
What lesson can you leave us with today?
I would say be consistent in what you're doing. Whatever it is that you have chosen, be consistent. And even if it's not monetized yet, consistently do whatever that thing is.
I love it.
Monetization may come later, which that kind of dovetails with the second part, which is educating yourself on the field of multiple ways that you can work within that field. Like I, for instance, in tech, I could learn how to code. That would be very interesting. But I also don't have time right now.
Yes.
And so I'm like, okay, that wouldn't really be a good use of my resources because it would take me several years to catch up to
everyone else who's been coding since kindergarten.
But I was like, you know what I can do is I can study social media. I can study project management.
Right.
I can study corporate structures. I can study, like, there's all these things that I can easily catch up on that will benefit my business And then I can work collaboratively with other people for the other skills. So by educating myself on that, I learned how I could actually run this app functionally.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and I would say consistency wise, I mean, for a long time, I was like, oh, I'm a musician. But like, I felt like I wasn't really a musician because I wasn't making money. But it's so weird because you cross this, like, you cross this 10-year mark and all of a sudden you're a musician.
Yep.
All of a sudden, I'm getting paid to score things. Like, right. All of a sudden, you know, people are like, oh, you're a musician. And the reason why is that I just didn't stop doing it.
Exactly. At some point, someone will be like, I've been watching you for 10 years.
Yeah. And you're just like, I just kept putting out music.
Exactly.
And
I love
so that. It's the kind of thing where I would have written anyway, but to just keep putting out releases, keep putting out, like, if you're a writer, keep putting out blogs.
Right.
If you're a photographer, keep posting your photography. Like, whatever it is, just keep doing it.
Yeah. The validation will come later.
Yeah.
Head down, keep doing it. Yeah. I love that.
And even if sometimes, like, and I like what you said earlier about acknowledging that you're in a moment that you have been waiting for. Like, Francesca Leah Block was such an influence on me as a young artist.
Mm.
Like, as a musician, she wrote all about, like, these mystical versions of LA.
Yeah.
And I realized I was with her at, like, Stanley's Kamikaze while she was talking on a panel because she was working on a story for our app. And I realized in that moment, I was like, wow. I'm with one of my personal heroes.
Yes.
This is so cool.
That is so funny. And because that's exceptional, because a lot of people would go through that panel and think like, wow, I saw her, or she's kind of a part, but it's not really. But it is. It is.
Yeah.
You just need to step into it.
Yeah. And I was just like, I had to consciously think to myself, like, hold on to this. Just stay right here. Because I always am like looking on to the next thing, or like, oh, what can I do after? And just being like, yeah.
Claiming the now.
Yeah.
I love it. We are gonna dovetail with a quick round, which is basically, if you could recommend one book to the audience, what would it be?
Oh my God, fiction or nonfiction? Like,
either and any and all.
Oh my God. This is like the best worst question.
This is the best worst question from someone who has a book app.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my God. I guess I would recommend things for so many different reasons. I mean, really anything by Brené Brown for like... The Gift of Imperfection is amazing.
I love Brené Brown. I second that.
I love her work, especially like all the research she did on shame. Mm. Sometimes when I'm reading it, I'm just like, oh, this hits a little close to home. I'm uncomfortable, but in a good way.
Yeah. Shame and vulnerability. Brené Brown.
Yeah. She's, oh my God, her work's amazing.
Love it.
I love her work.
And then what about a podcast? Do you typically podcast?
I sometimes podcast. I actually really love... Have you heard Welcome to Night Vale?
No.
They're so much fun. My friend Eliza, who I was talking to about crowdfunding recently, she was one of the musical guests on their podcast, and that's kind of how I got into it. It probably would appeal to like fans of like Twin Peaks and the X-Files.
Okay, got
and
it.
And it's like small town LA, but like flipped on its head and super surreal and strange.
Love it.
In a really subtle, casual, nice way.
Yeah, subtle and casual. Mm-hmm.
Just subtle, casual, supernatural.
And then... Lastly, you talked a lot about self-educating and, you know, resources and really getting into it. Is there a resource or like a little hack, a life hack, an app, maybe it's a website that you've used throughout your career that you could recommend to the audience?
You know, there's actually a growth hacker named Vin Clancy, who's awesome. He just moved to LA.
Awesome.
He runs a group called Traffic and Copy. He always posts really good stuff. And I've got to say, the best recommendation he had was the classic Carnegie book, like How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yes, got it.
And I had poo-pooed that for a while because I was like, ugh, whatever. It's a classic for a reason. I was like, okay, Pam, good job.
Fine, we'll take it.
Way to reconcile yourself to that.
Love it.
So he has had a bunch of good reading recommendations. And I know it sounds cheesy, but I'll sometimes just fall down an Amazon hole.
Yeah.
And just go down and look at recommendations, read samples of things, see if it resonates with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent many a late night just going through that, going through Medium blogs, looking at Quora.
Right. Get like, lost on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Just follow those weird internet paths. If you end up on like WebMD, like that's when you know you've gone too far. But like, don't go down that internet hole. You're immediately going to think you're dying. But like.
No, I gotcha. Yeah.
But other than that, I wish I had a shortcut, but it's just more of a meander.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it fits as well. I love you, Pam. I know that the audience got loads, bucket loads. Thank you for sharing your career path with us.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was Pam Schaefer, founder of Beyond Books, and you are listening to Women in Tech.
Thank you so much.
Betalist, one of my favorite companies to gain exposure to your startup before you're even live. Go to betalist.com/womenintech and get featured. Yes, get your startup featured while still in beta and make sure people know that you're about to go live. So when you open the floodgates for business, you'll be ready with pre-existing customers and signups. That's betalist.com/womenintech. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.